Thank God for these techies. Leave me. I don't want to leave a meeting. I got it. Okay, I'll go up to here. Wait. Wait, one minute. Get out of here.
I don't know what you're looking at here.
Oh, you're looking at a whole bunch of stuff. Here we go. Where are we? Okay, where?
Where's your presentation?
Where? There it is, right here.
Oh, see.
There we go. There we go. Now, that's not up. So share.
You share.
I'm shared?
Yep.
Okay. Play. Le voilà.
There you are.
Thank you very much.
That's you.
Okay. Good. Good to be here. All this techie stuff sometimes gets a little in the way, doesn't it? But we're learning, and I believe I do have a message, and I believe God has called me for this particular time, for this particular message. And it's the Great Commission. So if you've got your Bibles there, or you've got your iPads, or you've got your phones, let's follow along, and I'm going to try to read this the way it's written. I'm not that good of a reader, so we'll just see what it says here. In Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20, and I'm just going to pray again. We've already prayed, but we're going to pray again because we really need the help of the Holy Spirit. I've just been away for 3 months. Yo hablo español. Yo estaba en Argentina predicando cada domingo, and you don't understand what I'm saying, so that's what I've got to try not to do. So 3 months I've been preaching only in Spanish, so sometimes I might fall back into that. But anyway, here's what it says then, Matthew 28, 16, then the 11 disciples left from Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, like we did this morning. Wasn't that nice? If you weren't here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you're part of the family of God, you missed a feast. You missed a banquet. Now, you might say, well, I don't smell any turkey or roast beef, but it was a banquet. We sat there for, 45 minutes, and all we did was focused in on Jesus and God, and it was like a banquet. It's one of the best times I have in a week, is to worship the Lord. And that's what they did here. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands which I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of ages. Isn't that wonderful? God is with us. What is the message of the Great Commission? Well, the underlying truth behind the Great Commission is that all are lost and in need of a Savior. The message is an urgent call, urgent, notice the word urgent, call and command for every blood-washed child of God to go. The activity really is to make disciples, to cause men and women, boys and girls, to become followers of Jesus. And this is, to many evangelical Bible-believing fundamental Christians, is not a priority anymore. You'll see two nice-looking men outside on the streets every day now with a white shirt and a tie, I won't name it, with a badge here, and they're knocking on doors, telling men and women their doctrine. I admire their stamina. I think that's the word in English. I admire their going out, but they're giving a wrong message. Or you'll see that young man or that older man and older woman going up with their briefcase. They don't have white shirts and tie on, but they have a tie on. And they go up to the door and they tell us about things that aren't biblical. But where are the evangelical Bible-believing Christians? Where are we? What are we doing to advance the kingdom of God? And this is a biblical concept. Today, 51% of evangelicals don't understand what the Great Commission is. 51%. Even 64% of the Bible-minded evangelicals have forgotten the meaning of this all-important command. They're too busy, which we'll go into, but they don't see the urgency of it. People are going to spend a lost eternity in hell because they haven't really heard a gospel message. Last night we went to camp. That was great, eh? What a banquet. And it was said, how many here received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at Anvil Island? Whoa! There were so many. But that's up at Anvil Island. That's under 5 days, or in my time it was 10 days, 7 days now, of being listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how about the people on the streets of Vancouver? We're going to look at this. I hope it comes out okay. It's just a little rendering of it, and then we're going to end it. We'll see if it works. Try to read along. There's no music there. Don't worry about that. Going to look at this now at a more of a bite-sized way of looking at it. So the five great commission passages, five in the Bible, five, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in Acts we have it. So we're just going to go over it one more time. Then Jesus came, we've already read there, to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been handed over to me. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. This is from Matthew, the tax collector, disciple of Jesus, okay? Let's go over to Mark. Mark chapter 16, 15 to 16, and he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Very trying verse that's hard to understand, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's where we come in the picture. We are here to tell them so they won't be condemned, and we'll carry on. Luke, Dr. Luke, I love the way he puts it. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ shall suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Beginning from Jerusalem. Get Jerusalem. This was written to them in Jerusalem. It's written to us today too, because we're going to see that. But it's written to them. Their Jerusalem was Jerusalem. We're going to talk about where your Jerusalem is in a few minutes. John said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this is the verse I'm going to spend a little bit of time on, because it was my verse when I was saved at Anvil Island Bible Camp. Later on in my time at Anvil, I chose this as my theme verse. Then I started going out with a beautiful young lady, Gloria, and it became our theme verse. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Beautiful verse. We are called to go. We are called to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, you're going to say, but Ron, that was written 2,000 years ago. It's out of date. It's passé. Or you're going to say, but Ron, I can't go. I can't tell anybody about Jesus because I haven't been to Regent College. I haven't been to Bible school. I haven't taken special studies on this. But remember those writers. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a doctor. These were just ordinary people like you and I. And God tells us to go. All scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness. This is for today. This is for 2023. We are to go. Now, I'm not telling you to get on the plane tomorrow. I'm not telling you to get on a boat tomorrow. But we are to go and make disciples. And we're going to look into that quite extensively. In current metro area population of Vancouver in 2023 is 2,657,000. According to Statistics Canada, the largest non-white ethnic group in Metro Vancouver are Chinese, 19.6% of the population. Southern Asian, 14.2%. And Filipinos, 5.5%. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because when it says, go to tell all nations, God in his mercy, in his love, in his kindness, has brought all these nations to us. I don't know how many different nationalities we are represented here. I know there's French speaking. I know there's the English speaking, Portuguese speaking, Spanish speaking, maybe Mandarin, Cantonese. I mean, we here are told to go where? Biblically, it says to our Jerusalem. And we'll get into that. Where am I going with this? Why am I talking about this? Because God has brought people to us. Every day of my life, I talk English or French or Spanish. You're going to say, well, of course, English. No, not necessarily, of course, because look at the populations. Just the other day, I was going up the road on Smith, and there was two gentlemen sitting on the side. I put the window down, I slowed up. I said, hola, ¿qué tal, muchachos? Kitty, venga, venga, vamos a Metrotown. And they got in the car, and they went up to Metrotown with me. Now, of course, North American, white, Caucasian, English speaking people wouldn't do that. They probably think I was a, I don't know what the words are in English, but anyway, you know what I mean. But they were Spanish people. They looked Spanish. They were from Mexico. They were short, dark. They looked, and they got into my car, and I took them up to Metrotown, and I told them about Jesus in Espanol. I mean, every day of our life, we see people from other countries. But let's look at this verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. Now, I'm going to take the liberty of not interpret, to apply this. Look what it says. Now, please watch this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you will be my witnesses in Bernabe. That's what Jerusalem was. This was written to the Jewish people in Jerusalem, and this was written to us in Bernabe. Our responsibility is to tell men and women, boys and girls in Bernabe about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, we are to tell people in all of British Columbia. And then we are to tell people in the other provinces and to the ends of the earth. Now, I took this so literally that when I was 21 years old and I was married 11 months, I got in my car and I went to my Samaria. Do you know the Samaritans and the Jewish people fought back and forth all the time? And I knew that people in the Belle Province of Quebec and the people in British Columbia didn't get along too good. Because the cornflakes, I think, because it was French and English on the cornflakes. I don't know. But my wife and I went and called up God after preaching in Burnaby, after preaching in Vancouver, after preaching in Mission Hope, after preaching in Kelowna, Pentatic, and Vernon, in all of British Columbia, and in Alberta, in Calgary, Alberta, after preaching there, God led me for 12 years in the Belle Province of Quebec. And I had to learn French. And you don't try to teach a dyslexic person who passed on trial 3 times in school and flunked grade 8 twice to learn another language. But God called me. Et je parle le français. Je ne parle pas le français bien, mais je parle le français. And not bad, eh? I'm showing off. I know. They know how bad that is. But anyway, you understand what I'm trying to get at. God will. And then after 12 years in Quebec and 6 years in Vancouver, and to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Can you get any farther than Argentina? So the Lord called us for 20 years in Argentina, and I had to learn another language. Yo tuve que aprender el español. I had trouble learning English, never mind French and Spanish. But God calls us, you go. Now you're going to say, but Ron, when does the Holy Spirit come? When does the Holy Spirit come? And that's always a big biblical theological question in most of the churches. But biblically, I believe the Apostle Paul clearly taught we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. When I accepted Jesus Christ at 10 years old, I didn't understand it, but I was given a gift. I was given a person in my life. I was given an abogado, a lawyer, a helpmeet, a comforter, and that was the Holy Spirit. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying I was a spiritual-filled person in the sense that I understood it all, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. You've got to allow him to work through you. We mustn't quench the Holy Spirit. We mustn't put down the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He wants to use us, but we have to be open to his leading, and his leading comes from the Word of God. So if when it says that when we see power from the Holy Spirit has come unto you, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And he'll help you to witness. He'll help you to witness. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. The human body has many parts, and the many parts make up one whole body. So it was the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. You have the Spirit, I have the Spirit, if you're a Christian. And if you want the Spirit, I'd love to talk to you after the meeting, because I can show you from Scripture how you can get the Spirit. And you don't have to crawl, you don't have to yell, you don't have to scream, you don't have to roll on the ground. All you have to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, come into my heart today, and the Holy Spirit will come in with the Jesus. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And then you can be witness for him in all of Jerusalem. So we are told to go. Go. Go to all nations. That means that person on the SkyTrain that speaks a different language than you do, and you can't talk to him in Mandarin and Cantonese, or maybe you can't talk to them in Spanish or French, but you can witness to them. Now, I'm going to show you how you can do that. We can witness to people in every language here in beautiful British Columbia. Jesus commands us to, first, preach the gospel to all nations and people. It's good to preach it in church, but it's very important to preach it at Starbucks. Even Tim Hortons. I'm not a Tim Hortons fan, mind you, but I'm a Starbucks fan. And they didn't pay me to say that. But we can witness to Jesus at Starbucks. We can witness to Jesus at Tim Hortons. We can witness to Jesus in McDonald's even. Work miracles in Jesus' name to testify that gospel. You're going to say, oh, are you a miracle worker? I have seen miracles in my life. I've worked at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. I have seen lives change 180 degrees. I've seen drunkards come to know Jesus. And as I preached on the corner of downtown East End and preaching Jesus, I've seen people come to Jesus. I've seen miracles and miracles. No, I'm not a healer. I'm not I don't have the gift of healing people. But I have seen miracles. The gospel changes people. I've seen it in 75 different countries. People come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Africa, in the camps in Goma, Zaire, the refugees. You can be a miracle worker if you have Jesus and you preach the gospel. And when you see that person saved, born again, regenerated, you can see miracles in their lives. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. Then we are to what? Baptize new believers. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a part of the family of God and you're not baptized, talk to Mark. Talk to his dad. Because we are to be baptized. That's what this is all about. That's what this...
bunch of drumming equipment. Oh.
But wouldn't it be wonderful if there was water in there and you're being obedient to God? Baptism doesn't save a person. Baptism shows to the world that you have changed from death unto life. And then, disciples those who receive. What a privilege it is to disciple men and women, boys and girls. And there's so many different ways to do that. Now, let's talk about Jesus. We can talk about mercy. You all know who mercy is, don't you? No. He plays from Argentina, and we won the World Cup Mundial this year. We even beat Brazil. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I know it's a sore spot, but we won. Messi. I could talk about Messi all day. I could talk about Charles Stanley. I've been listening to lots of information about Charles Stanley. I could talk about Franklin Graham. Oh, could I ever talk about Billy Graham? But I'd rather talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. So when you're with those girls, and you ladies, with those girls, and you're talking about them, and something comes up that you can talk about Jesus gently, kindly, effectively, tactfully, do it. There's always openings in conversations that you can talk about your faith. But we're scared. We're frightened. We're afraid we're going to be rejected. Very quickly, I remember one time I'm standing on the corner in Argentina giving out these little Bibles, these ones here in Spanish. And a priest comes out and he looks at it and he rips it up, throws it on the ground. He gets them off the kids, rips it up, throws them on the ground. And he told the kids, don't listen to this guy. And I'm standing there. So I picked them all up. And I went to the local bishop. I went to the bishop, knocked, asked for an appointment, got an appointment, sat down. I put all of this on the table. He's Roman Catholic, priest, bishop, in charge of the Church of Rome in Villa Maria, Cordoba, Argentina. I put him on the thing, and I started crying. It wasn't theatrics. I get emotional now. It wasn't theatrics. I mean, that's the word of God. And I said to the bishop, I said, excuse me, here's my credentials, Ron Edgecombe, Fundación La Escuela Bíblica de Villa María, a Bible school in Villa María. And I said, we give these out in the school, and one of your men came out, and maybe he thought we were something that we weren't, but he ripped them all up, and he saw my emotions. He looked at it. He looked to see if the imprimatura was in it, but it's not in there, but he looked up, and he says, let me look into this. And 2 weeks later, I got a letter from him that I went into every school, every hotel, every motel in the prisons in Villa Maria because he saw that this was a straight word of God. And I said, I am not trying to win Catholics to Protestantism. No way, Jose. I am trying to win Protestants and Catholics to Jesus. And he appreciated that. So God will open up. We have to talk about Jesus. Preach the gospel to all nations. Let's share about Jesus. Let's talk about him. Let's testify for him. Let's verbalize our faith. Now, we all can't be loudmouths like me. I appreciate that. But in your own kind, delicate way. My wife never gets up and gets excited. But she talks about Jesus all the time in a very, you don't have to change your vocabulary. You don't have to change your voice. It should come out naturally. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's share about Jesus. Let's tell our story. Let's testify. No one size fits all evangelism. You can reach people that I could never reach. I could start talking to a person and they cut me off like that because loud and boisterous and not tactful sometimes. Well, maybe you're more calm, cool, and collective, and in your own gracious, loving, kind way, tell them about Jesus. There's no one-size-fits-all evangelism. And evangelism is a lifestyle, not a one-time activity. Now, how can we do this in today's society? Well, tracts. In the back there, you've got lots of tracts. I mean, just give them a tract. Jesus Christ came into the world to save. Here, there's something you might like to read. Anybody can do that. They might tear it up. They might spit on it. They might throw it in the garbage. But you've done your job. Halloween, Christmas. I mean, in Halloween, for instance, every child that comes to my house in the last 10 years gets a beautiful chocolate bar in a baggie with a foglietto, with a pamphlet in it. And this is a Halloween. I don't like Halloween. I hate Halloween. I'm against Halloween. But I'm not like a lot of Christians, and I'm not judging them. They turn their light off of their house, and they go in the back room because they don't want to have anything to do with Halloween. I understand that. I appreciate that. But I like, because when they come to my door, they get the gospel. How about birthdays, anniversaries, graduations? There's so many good evangelical Bible-believing fundamental tracts out there that you can use. We can share Christ by way of giving a pamphlet. So important. So important. How about social media? Wow. I'm learning. I'm 78. I know I look 58. You don't have to keep saying that. But you know, at 78, I use Facebook. I use YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, TikTok, Messenger. What? These are all different ways that you can witness for Jesus. I get stuff every day from different Christians from all over the world in many different languages. And all your Facebook friends, tell them about Jesus. You can use me as an excuse. You can talk about this loudmouth that was at the church on Sunday was telling me that I should tell you about Jesus. Use me as a scapegoat. I don't mind, but let's do it. Let's use the social media. Sure, there's a lot of garbage on social media, but there's a lot of garbage everywhere. There are so many different platforms. How about texting? I mean, I get texts all day long. Oh, excuse me, I got one just now. Lunch. Oh, yeah. Why don't we use our texting for Jesus? Put a verse on there. Somebody's anniversary, you don't want to buy them a tract, you don't want to send it by snail mail, send them a text message. Congratulations on your 50th. Gloria's put up with me for 57 years. We had our anniversary last week. Yeah, I got lots of texts. But we can do that. That's what we can use a phone for. How about different things like this here, this WhatsApp, the different verses with, there's lots of things like that. There's lots of places in the internet that you can get these free of charge. So important. You know, even write a letter. Woo! You can write a letter. Send it by snail mail. People are enjoying snail mail again because you don't get it anymore. It's a novelty. You get a lot of junk on snail mail, but you can send a good letter. How about a phone call? I mean, this is a phone, they say. I use it more for other things. Hello there. Ah, congratulations. Your 13th birthday. Ah. And just tell them, you know, God's given you 13 years. God bless you. So many different ways. A natural conversation. You're talking to somebody. Now, you don't necessarily have to knock on doors. But you're talking to somebody. You're pushing your buggy along, getting groceries, and you meet somebody. Just converse with them. Hi, how are you? We have to throw out the lifeline. I was a lifeguard for 30 years at camps, and many times I had to throw out the lifeline to save people. We have the saving knowledge. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to tell men and women about Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus. That's what I'm getting across. And they went ashore. He saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Do you have that compassion? Your relatives, your family, your neighbors is your first responsibility. That's your Jerusalem. Do you have compassion for them? Do you really believe for what you are saved from? You are saved from a lost eternity. But we can tell them. I was listening to Charles Stanley's funeral service, and Franklin Graham spoke on it, and a few of the other well-known speakers. And it was just amazing, amazing how many people came to know Jesus through the television broadcast of Charles Stanley. How many people were discipled through Charles Stanley? Because Charles Stanley had compassion. Franklin Graham has compassion. Do we have compassion? The Bible says, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus wants to stretch his hand out and touch men and women, boys and girls, and make them clean from sin. And you are the person who can do that through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do it by myself. I'm useless, inutile. Bon rien, as we used to say in Quebec. But in Jesus, we can do it. We can do it. Luke 7:13, and when the Lord saw him, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep. Matthew 15:32, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me 3 days and nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. We have something to give to people so they can eat spiritually. We can do that. I have compassion on the multitude because they have not continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I mean, my desire is to be like Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. Christ's desire, it says in the Bible, was to do the Father's will. He was here to proclaim the Father's will. And we are here to proclaim the will of God also. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, lest you are an example, so that you might follow in his steps. We are to follow in the steps of Jesus. We are to follow in the steps of Jesus. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Before we pray, there's a subtle hint on your seat. You know, I didn't go to Starbucks today. I went to J.J. Beans because I got a free coffee because I bought some beans. And you know what happened? I went in there today, and they have seats outside, and one fell out of my pocket. Fell out of my pocket. Anybody can do that. I don't think that's wrong. Someone's going to come by and read that. I didn't have a chance to give it to anybody, but maybe this week, if you take one or two of these, they're on all the seats, a lot of empty seats, grab two. They're free of charge. I stand on the corner of the Sky Trains many times. You might have seen me. You might have seen some of my friends. We stand on the Sky Train, and everybody get off the Sky Train, get the True North, the Gospel of John. That's the Bible, the New Testament you got there. But give it. Take one or two home. Give it out. Take the courage. I can remember when doing this in Quebec and also in Argentina, taking people with me, and they would hide behind the telephone pole. No, seriously. But it's okay. After two or three times of doing this, they stand beside the telephone pole. Let's do it for Jesus. Let's do it for the kingdom. Let's invite people to Awana here. Let's invite people to the Sunday services here. Let's invite people to our socials here. These are wonderful places that we can invite people together as a group here at Parkcrest, working together, praying together, striving together, testifying together. We can see God moving in this neighborhood. I trust this has been a challenge. This is the verses that have been given to me to share with you. And I hope I did a biblical rendering of it. But just remember Jerusalem. Some young people have said to me, the Lord has called me to Africa. I said, well, praise God. What are you doing in your local church? Huh? Are you a Sunday school teacher? Huh? Are you a DVBS worker? Huh? Are you working with Awana? Huh? Are you working Christian Service Brigade? Huh? Do you go up to Amble Island and counsel? Huh? No, God is calling me to Africa. I would question it. Sorry? I would question it. Because we have to be a witness in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful people here at Parkcrest. We pray you might bless those that are on vacation. Thank you for them. Thank you for the people in Zoom, Heavenly Father. We ask you might bless them also. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we might take these little New Testaments, that God loves you, and that we might give it out. If we just leave it on a table after eating at McDonald's, or if we just leave it at Starbucks after having a coffee with a friend, help us do it. Help us start witnessing for you, Heavenly Father. Help us to tell men and women, boys and girls, of your saving grace. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Let's just stand together and we'll praise and worship God one more time this morning together.